I've known my friend Danny since childhood. He helped me study for the Missouri Bar Exam in 1992. He was a brilliant whirlwind of a lawyer who specialized in mass tort litigation, mostly what are called toxic torts, like defective drugs that end up hurting and killing people. He made a lot of money. I mean, a lot of money. He also medicated himself with alcohol in the process. On the outside, Danny was winning. Danny, the person, though, was rudderless, in pain, and without a vocation. After almost 20 years of representing plaintiffs, winning cases, and pounding on other lawyers, Danny left the law. And do you want to know what he did next? He helped his wife start a scrapbooking business. He immersed himself in colored paper, holiday stencils, adhesive dots, and craft rubber stamps. He wanted to serve Nikki in pursuit of her passion, and that's exactly what he did for 4 years. Unfortunately, the business went south, and they moved to another city where Nikki found a great new job. Years earlier, while in the process of getting sober, Danny had attended a workshop that helped people discover a better version of themselves. Because he found them beneficial, he continued attending these courses over the next several years as an assistant, while he phased out of law and into scrapbooking. Eventually, he began training to become a paid teacher of these workshops. Danny never considered that it could be a career until he started working with Nikki. That's where the mystery of service and vocation comes into focus. While he was serving his wife, not thinking about himself, space was created for him to consider this new career, a life of helping others, with the skills that he'd learned over the previous decade of workshops and training. Danny's selfless service to Nikki was ultimately how he found himself, and importantly, it was a bridge to his vocation. When I asked Danny to describe this, he said, "I discovered that one of my core values was kindness, in a way that on my deathbed it will matter to me. Was I kind?" The courtroom was no longer a place for me to live that core value. Today he travels the country leading workshops for people from all walks of life, from Orthodox Jewish teens in New York City, to middle schoolers in San Diego, to LAPD gang unit cops, to people simply searching for a better life in St. Louis. He has a thriving coaching practice and makes, in his exact words, a whole effing lot less than his days as a lawyer. But he loves his life. I've seen him at work, and if there was ever a person who dodged death by finding and living out their vocation, it's my friend Danny. Like law for chocolate. Why did you quit law? Why on earth chocolate? And my personal favorite, I bet this career is a lot sweeter than your old one, huh? It's possible I've told my lawyer to chocolate maker story 1,000 times in the past 10 years in response to those questions. From college campuses to boardrooms to tours of our chocolate factory, these are the most common questions I'm asked. And I get it. People want to know how and why I made this crazy leap. They also want to know how I managed to do it all. How our team of 16 people, working on a humble street in a small city in the Midwest, makes chocolate that wins awards around the world. Or how we practice direct trade with smallholder farmers across the globe. Or how our small chocolate factory is able to feed thousands of students per day in Tanzania and the Philippines with no donations. After hearing me speak, a lot of folks say, either with excitement or despair, that they wish they could do what I'm doing, but don't know how or where to start, or that it all seems too daunting. I like to answer their questions with as much detail as time permits, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And my reply always centers around the fact that Askenosi chocolate is my vocation, and it's the only reason we're able to do what we do. It's not as simple as follow your dream, which is nice, if trite, and also not that helpful. How exactly do you follow your dream? What does that look like? What are the next steps? In this chapter, I provide an alternative to this platitude by suggesting some answers to these very questions. I hope the lessons I've learned and the mistakes I've made along this path to my vocation inspire you to find meaning in your work. But before we discuss your business, we need to talk about you. You have to find your personal vocation. I encourage you to follow these steps, try some of these exercises at the end of the chapter, and then go live what comes out of it. For the record, no, making chocolate is not necessarily sweeter than my former life as a lawyer. Try standing at the counsel table in the well of a courtroom shoulder to shoulder with a client, in whose innocence you believe with every fiber of your being, but who is charged with murder and might die by lethal injection. As the jury files in, the foreperson says they have reached a verdict, and the words, "not guilty," are read by the judge in slow motion. Is that sweet? No, not exactly. But it sure is gratifying, gut-wrenching, and life-affirming. Nevertheless, chocolate is what I do now, and it, too, has gratifying, gut-wrenching, and life-affirming moments.